Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Saying this was all fine yesterday.
Fine. These were prize winners, Chief. You should have seen them. For the life of me, I couldn't figure out what happened. And then I remembered. Eugene.
What about him?
He'd been complaining about me to just about anyone that'll listen.
Why is that?
Well, he started this pick your pumpkin thing. Acted like it was trademarked. I said, hire yourself a damn lawyer. See how far that gets you.
You're telling me that nice old Eugene came out here after dark and doused your field with poison?
Well, not Eugene himself. Taking one of his field hands.
Uh-huh.
Listen, Chief, I don't go throwing around accusations lightly. You know me. But this happened the day before Halloween when sales are peaking. That's a hell of a coincidence. Hell of a coincidence.
Stranger Things, the greatest show alive. All we can do is wait for season 5. I thought in the meantime that it might be fun to read every comic and book in what I call the Stranger Danger Book Club. Stranger Danger Book Club. Book Club. Stranger Danger Book Club.
I didn't think I was going to let you leave 2024 without one more episode, right? Come on, everybody, let's sing along. Now, I don't know this part coming up here, right? You know, but something's being said, and I don't know what it is. I could look it up, but I chose not to. Maybe you know it, but everyone knows this part. Why can't we be friends? 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 Greetings, stranger friends, and welcome back to the final episode of Stranger Danger for 2024, a brand new episode of the Stranger Danger Book Club. I don't even know what that tune is. I just completely made that up as I was starting to sing, and I thought, I don't know what I'm doing here, Mike, but go with it. Maybe they won't notice, but then you're going to bring attention to it and everyone's going to notice what the hell is he singing about. I don't know, folks, but I am so happy to be here. It is Sunday, December 29th, as I am recording this. We only have a couple days left in 2024. And I know I wasn't a great podcaster this year. I didn't do a ton of episodes. I started the Stranger Things Forever, which I am getting back to. I am not giving up on it. I haven't stopped it. I'm doing it as long as I possibly can, hopefully get all the way through. But wouldn't it be great if I had to stop it because Stranger Things 5 was here and I just, you know, who wants to relive Stranger Things 4 as awesome as amazing as it was? And yes, everyone wants to relive it, but when it's in comparison to Stranger Things 5, obviously that's where we want to go and that's where our focus is. But I'm going to keep doing it as well as these book clubs because there are other comic books out there that I have yet to read. So I'm looking forward to finally getting to those as well. But really, we're just kind of bridging the gap and filling time until we get to Stranger Things 5. And I want to ask you, how many of you were expecting a trailer on Christmas Day? Because I'm going to be honest with you, I was. I brought it up a few times, so I thought it would be the perfect time to deliver something, a trailer, a teaser, a date announcement, because a lot of families on Christmas Day would be having Netflix on with football games on. Now, it's just, you know, I mean, there's plenty of families out there who don't have Netflix. Plenty of, I can't imagine there's many Stranger Things fans out there that don't have Netflix, but there's plenty of families that A, don't have the TV on during Christmas, B, don't celebrate Christmas, and C, don't care about football. So they're not going to be, having the game on for a variety of reasons. But if you remember, all the way back to Stranger Things 2, which of course is in, you know, relates to today's episode, we got the big reveal. The first trailer that I remember seeing was Super Bowl Sunday. And that, of course, is a big football game, but it's also a huge commercial day. And that's on, you know, primetime television. But I know that, you know, they said 20-something million tuned into each of these games. So it had a huge audience. And I really thought it would have been the perfect time to give us something, to give us an announcement. So that was my first kind of like, the first I heard about it was myself. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't remember ever hearing it anywhere. I just thought, oh, this would be a great time and a great place to do it. And then I saw a few other tweets or whatever you call it now, posts that were mentioning, hey, the rumor is, or I think I might've saw it on Facebook as well. The rumor is there might be a trailer on Christmas Day. So that didn't necessarily make it, you know, make me think, oh, it's definitely happening. But it did kind of give me some hope because it was showing me that I'm not the only one who had this idea. So maybe it's not so crazy, just a crazy idea. Maybe it's something that like really people are hearing about. Now, the first game started at 1 o'clock and I had to go pick up some family for 1 o'clock. I was showing up at 1 o'clock to bring them back to my house. And I was like, do I bring my phone and be really, you know, dangerous and kind of rest it where I can kind of see it while driving? Probably not a good idea. Maybe just because I wanted to see it live. But then I knew if there was something that it would immediately be on the, you know, the social medias and the YouTubes and all the fun stuff. Now, again, this is all this whole story I'm telling you is, you know, with the, of course, the caveat being that we all know there was nothing. But I thought, OK, no, there's, you know, maybe it'll be the first commercial break of the first game, because that's always when the big Super Bowl commercials are happening. And of course, there was nothing. And then I got word that my brother, his two kids, so he's got a 12-year-old and a seventh grader and a freshman in high school, 14. And that's where we were going, ultimately going on Christmas Day. And my niece, I've talked about her in the past, she loves Stranger Things. And I said, look, if there is a trailer, we're doing an emergency podcast and you are coming on. And, you know, she just laughed at me, but she would have done it. So I kind of put that idea in her head. I picked her up from figure skating one night and I said, listen, this is what I think might be happening. And I've heard some chatter. All I saw was some posts, but I'm chatter like I'm an insider, that, you know, something might be happening. Now, she got excited. She's like, oh my God, I'm going to tell my dad to record. I go, it's Netflix. You don't have to record it. Just, it'll be on. So apparently she must have talked about it because she was upstairs and my nephew, you know, God bless him. It was a good joke, but you know, it hurts us, the viewers, the Stranger Friends, because he screamed her name. He goes, the Stranger Things commercial's on. She screamed, ran downstairs. My brother was in the shower. He said he thought something terrible had happened. She runs downstairs and he's just laughing in her face. And I was like, oh my goodness, you son of a bee. That is cruel. I'm very proud of you. I think that's a very good joke, but not about this. You don't joke about something like this. And then, you know, we laughed about it and the day continued and we ended up going over there. And I was thinking to myself, you know what? The 4:30 game, that might be the one that people view more because, you know, early in the day, people are settling and then maybe they ate early and then everyone kind of relaxes and puts the game on. So I think it was the 4:30 game. By that time we were settled in. It might've still been the first game. I'm not sure, but I think we're opening gifts at this point. Now the kids were opening gifts. I got some gifts. I got some envelopes and some cards and I got a t-shirt and I got some gift cards. I got a gift card to a comic book store. See, my brother knows the way to my heart. So that's happening. And I look up at the screen and I see a commercial on Netflix and I see Millie Bobby Brown and I interrupt everyone. I go, oh my God. And my niece was like, whoa. And she looks over and I realized, wait a minute, she has long blonde hair and oh my goodness, it's a movie trailer for her and Chris Pratt. Now that being said, this movie looks like it could be kind of awesome. I don't know The Electric State, that's the name of the movie. I remember The Electric Company. Kids, check with your parents or maybe even your grandparents about The Electric Company. But apparently it's based on a 2018 graphic novel. And here's the thing, it's the Russo brothers from, you know, the Marvel movies, the Avengers movies, and from Community. And this movie comes out in March, and it's got Ke-Hai Kwan and Chris Pratt, Millie Bobby Brown, Stanley Tucci. It's got a lot of people in it, and it looks kind of like it could be epic, and I'm hoping it's great. My God, if Wikipedia is or Google's right, it says the budget of this movie is $320 million. How does Netflix make money back on that? You already have a subscription. Like, I guess they just make so much money that they can pump it into these big movies and hope that people watch them. And by watching these movies, that allows them to say, okay, let's keep pumping money into the movies, even though so many people, I guess they don't want people to unsubscribe. Keep it for 1 month because I want to watch the Electric State, or how many people will sign up to watch The Electric State. I don't know, but I'm definitely going to check that movie out. But oh my goodness, wrong time to be putting a trailer up for something with Millie Bobby Brown in it, for something with MBB in it, because there's only one Netflix thing that I truly care that she stars in, that I truly wanted to see a trailer for, and this was not it. So we didn't get a trailer. Christmas came and went, and it was a good day, and I hope everyone had a nice Christmas, but it would have been better if we had a trailer. But even though we don't have a trailer, we do know that Stranger Things 5 has wrapped. Now, obviously, there's still post-production to be done, I would assume, though, that they've been doing post-production all along to what's already been shot. So I'm hoping it's not like, okay, we have all the footage, now let's go construct all the episodes. I hope that's not the case. But we know that shooting is over. So now we all just have to wait until the episodes are finalized, and then they take the floppy disks down to the Netflix servers, and they upload them up to the internet for all of us to finally see this show. Now, I did see an article that came out recently that says, Millie Bobby Brown breaks down in tears while reading a Stranger Things goodbye letter after last day on set. It says Millie Bobby Brown broke down while reading now I'm reading the actual article. This is from Variety. I'll put in the show notes. Breaks down in tears while reading a farewell letter to the cast and crew of Stranger Things after her final day of filming on the blockbuster Netflix series. The streamer announced on December 20th that production of the fifth and final season of Stranger Things had wrapped. Brown marked the occasion by posting a gallery of photos to social media from her 9 years making the show. She was just 11 years old when production first started in November 2015. Included in Brown's photos, photo memories of her near decade making Stranger Things, was a final video of her sobbing on set while saying goodbye to the crew. She hugged a crew member after telling everyone on set she loved them.
And isn't graduation supposed to bring relief? Like, you're glad to leave behind the teachers and classmates?
Not me. I am nowhere near ready to leave you guys. I love each and every one of you, and I'll forever carry the memories and bonds we've created together as a family. I love you. Thank you.
So that little audio that I just played was part of her social media post. I saw it on Instagram. That was the whole, like, I didn't see the whole video of the whole letter, but that was the part that she posted. I'll put a link to that in the show notes too, but let's be honest, you all follow her already, right? So you probably have all seen it. I'm probably the last person to see it, but it's still good. I'm still going to link to it in the show notes and probably embed it on the Stranger Danger podcast post that I do for this episode. And speaking of this episode we are talking, really what we're here for is to be talking about the final chapter in the Tales of Hawkins stories. These are four stories, four standalone stories. They're not like part of a larger graphic novel type story. They're just four standalone Tales of Hawkins, literally little stories that kind of, you know, can be just part of the expanded universe of Hawkins and Stranger Things. And I liked these four stories. This one was a quick read. It was a fun read. It was a good read. And I'm happy to be talking about it to you as the final episode of Stranger Danger for 2024.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now, you may be saying to yourself, Michael, why are you choosing this song for this episode? And I have to tell you, folks, this song actually I felt like is a perfect representation of what this episode, this issue is all about. And it relates specifically to the clip that I played at the beginning of this episode that goes all the way back to the beginning of Stranger Things 2 in the Mad Max episode. It is about two friends who then became two bitter enemies and where that leads them as far as in their lives and in the world of Stranger Things. Now, this issue of comic is called Tales from Hawkins, Chapter 4. It is written by Jody Hauser with art by Nil Vendrell, colors by Dan Jackson, and letters by Nate Picos. Picos. I say that every time. Picos or Picos, I don't know exactly. And the cover art of this issue, the cover art, the art that you see on the show notes, is by Mark Aspinwall. This, of course, is a Dark Horse Comics comic. And if I read correctly, it was originally published September 2023. So it's been over a year since a lot of you probably have read this comic. But I read it today. And I'm talking about it today. So I'm going to read the little paragraph that we see at the beginning on the first page before we actually get to the story, just to give you a summary of what we're about to see. It says, it's a special time of year in Hawkins, Indiana, but especially for Merrill and Eugene, the owners of the two biggest pumpkin patches in town. After suspected sabotage, a confrontation between these rivals soon becomes a terrifying fight for their lives. Will they work together again or die bickering? Now, the cover page shows these two farmers kind of looks like they're stuffed and turned into scarecrows. It looks like they're probably dead, and they're standing by pumpkins and say, pick your own pumpkins. Now, we know in Stranger Things 2, there was talk of Eugene and talk of Merrill, and we met Merrill, and that's where Hopper went over to Merrill's house or went to his pumpkin patch, and that's where he talked about Eugene possibly poisoning the pumpkins. You know, possibly poisoning pumpkins. That's preposterous. And of course, we know that it's the rot of the upside down making its way through the mind flayer making its way through Hawkins, underneath Hawkins. And of course, Will is the key to figuring all that out. But at this point, all these two guys are at least in Stranger Things, in the episode that we saw or that we all remember in the clip I played at the beginning, all we know is that Hopper was brought there because the guy Merrill suspects sabotage, and not sabotage, but sabotage. Same thing. It's a very funny old reference that nobody gets. I don't say sabotage. I say sabotage. But Hopper was brought in because this guy suspects old nice Eugene of poisoning the pumpkins, all because he thinks he's mad at Merrill because Merrill, quote unquote, stole his idea of picking your own pumpkins. So let's not waste any more time talking about what we do know from the show, and let's jump right into this issue. It says, many assume that in a small town, everyone knows everyone. It's usually more accurate to say everyone knows of everyone. And we just see the streets of Hawkins. But when it comes to those in the same business as you, they're quite often either your best friend or your mortal enemy. And it shows two guys smiling for a photo, shaking hands in front of a pumpkin patch. Over the years, Merrill Wright and Eugene McCorkle had been both owners of the two biggest pumpkin patches in Hawkins, the powerhouses of the Hawkins fall season. So they're the pumpkin patch powerhouses. That is precisely how they're being portrayed. I'm sorry, I love alliteration. So it shows them, it looks like the two guys handing out flyers together, standing together and kind of working together to, really sell pumpkins. Now, look, I live in Massachusetts. New England, we have a big fall season. It's a big deal. Autumn, corn stalks, pumpkin patches, corn mazes, apple cider, carving pumpkins, buying pumpkins, 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 pumpkins. So I get it. But I mean, I just go down. I have an apple orchard that has like a market really like 5 minutes from my house. I don't know where they get their pumpkins. They're just outside the store. I look at them. I go, I buy three and I bring them home. And I have to tell you, I did it at a different farm stand this year. I didn't go to pumpkin patch. I just went to a farm stand. The pumpkins are still on my deck. They're frozen solid, probably. They might have thawed out in the last few days because it's been warmer. My wife says, you got to throw those in the woods. I guess we throw them in the woods and I don't know, they rot. I have no idea. or just years from now, there'll be just dozens of pumpkins hiding in the woods. But they still look pretty good. And I'm a little bit lazy. And I kind of want to see what happens if they freeze. Also, I'm going to be honest. But I don't think I've ever been to a pumpkin. Well, I guess I've been to pumpkin patches, I guess. I don't know. But apparently, Merrill and Eugene are the big pumpkin powwows of Hawkins. And, you know, they are united in delivering great customer service and wonderful, wonderful pumpkins. It says they supported each other, celebrated together. It shows the families sitting around the table. Looks like they're eating Thanksgiving together. I mean, there's turkey. So, I mean, how many times do you have a big turkey dinner unless it's Thanksgiving? And of course, a big time for pumpkin pie. It says there was even hope that perhaps the two families might one day, someday, be one. And it shows both guys taking pictures of Eugene's daughter and Merrill's son, and looks like they're dressed to go to the prom together. Or maybe they're just going to the snowball. I don't know. Is that the same thing for Stranger Things? Now, I don't see a lot of snow on the ground, so I'm guessing it's not quite the snowball. Maybe it is the prom. But after it says, you know, there's hope that perhaps two families might someday be one, it says, unfortunately, such closeness was not to last. It started out as far too many broken friendships do, with a harmless prank. So it shows Merrill's farm, and it looks like, I'm guessing, that they made scarecrows out of the family. I guess that's the first prank. I don't quite know. Then it shows the next prank, where it looks like they took over, where it says McCorkle's farm, and they changed it to visit Merrill's farm. They painted over it, but they didn't do a very good job, because it looks like it says visit McErrell's pumpkins. So they start pranking each other. It says the problem with such things is how they tend to escalate. So it went from dressing up scarecrows to painting over a sign to then showing four scarecrows with their pumpkin heads on the ground. Like, it's like, we're going to chop your heads off, I guess. At some point, they stopped being harmless. They stopped being pranks. And at some point, it became a battle. Next thing we see is literally McCorkle's pumpkin sign lit on fire. Like, we've resorted to arson over friggin' pumpkins. Okay. It was the usual song and dance. It shows their families going to church. It shows the two wives waving at each other like, you know, hi, we're still friends, right? But the two husbands not even looking at each other. And also, guys, take your hats off in church. I mean, that's just disrespectful. I went out to dinner tonight with my wife, and we took her sister. She has a special needs sister, and her birthday's today. Happy birthday, Trisha. And she doesn't listen, unfortunately. But we took her out, and we took my parents too. And I'm sitting there, and my wife got me a new Scally cap, which is like a page boy hat, like a newspaper boy. I don't know what to call it. If you've seen Peaky Blinders, one of those hats. And you might've seen me wearing that hat in some video. But she got me a new one, and I wore it to dinner. And I mean, look, we just went to the local International House of Pancakes. It was a wonderful dinner. And my sister-in-law is one of her favorite places. And, but I said, oh, I go, my mother is trying to keep it in right now. She is doing her best not to say anything about me wearing this hat at the table. She goes, oh, I didn't even notice it. I go, but now you did. She goes, yes, now I did. So I kept the hat on because, gosh darn it, I was paying for dinner. I'm keeping the hat on. But I don't think I would do that if I went to church. Take that hat off. That would not be allowed. And the fact that Merrill and Eugene are wearing their hats in church, they haven't taken them off yet. Not cool, dudes. Not cool. It shows them, and I'm going to continue. It shows each waiting for the other to apologize. It looks like Merrill is returning a bunch of records to Eugene. Maybe they shared records, and each placing blame at others' feet. Looks like the daughter of Eugene and the son of Meryl are still, you know, still a hot to trot, as they say. They're holding hands, and Eugene is hanging out the window like, I don't give my blessing to this. So it shows each knowing deep in the dark recesses of their heart that they were just as much at fault. So it shows Eugene holding up or posing and getting a photo in front of a sign that says, pick your own pumpkins. And then in the very next frame, it shows Meryl with his sign that says, pick your own pumpkins, 2 times 3. And his says 2 times 3. So I guess that means 2 pumpkins for $3. So he's basically copying him. And that's what we talked about. That's the clip that plays at the beginning. He can't copyright it, but he did copy him. So we see someone saying, you lousy son of a bitch. And we go to the next page, and it is, I guess it's Eugene saying that. And it says, not that either would admit it, even to themselves. Remember, I said that they're both at fault here, but no one would admit it. So now they're yelling at each other. Maybe this is outside of church, based on what the... they're different, wearing different clothes. So it's not that's outside the church. They're somewhere. And Eugene's like, can't compete on quality, so you steal my ideas. And Meryl says, you really think you're the first to think it up? And the wives just look like, oh my God, what are we doing with these two jerk faces? He says, way I see it, you still owe me for damages. And then Eugene says, oh, we talking damages now? Our whole damn field could have been. And Eugene's wife is like, enough. This isn't the time or place. And then Meryl says, you really going to let your little wife? And then Meryl's wife said, Meryl, your customers are watching. And they just walk away from each other. And it says the anger between the two had festered like a wound year after year. That was far from the only thing festering in Hawkins, October 30th, 1984. Shows Meryl going out in his robe, holding a cup of Joe, still has that hat on, will not take that hat off. And he says, can almost taste that victory. Goes to pick up the newspaper. He says, you think last year's prize winner was big, 314-pound, and is nothing? What in Sam Hill? He looks out on his field, and he drops his coffee cup like he's in The Usual Suspects, and he looks out, and he sees his entire pumpkin patch rotted. And the little word bubble says, and so the battle became a war. The next page, the next panel, it said, or so it seemed to those who didn't know what lurked in the dark places. So it seemed like it was a war because neither of these dudes knew what was really going on. And then we see a panel that literally is taken from the clip in the episode. Hopper's there, and he says, you're telling me that nice old Eugene came out here after dark and doused your field with poison? And he's like, not Eugene himself. I'm thinking one of his field hands. Next panel just shows Hopper leaving, driving away, and Meryl's like, damn, useless. Kicks one of his rotted pumpkins. He gets on the phone with who I'm guessing is another farmer, a different farmer, and he doesn't have his hat on for the first time. He says, who else do you think would do something like this? I'm telling you, Eugene finally snapped. Better keep an eye on your fields and spread the word. And it shows him lying in bed. He cannot sleep. He is lying there with, you know, completely eyes open. His wife's, you know, sleeping, trying to comfort him, and he's just stewing. But then on October 31st, Eugene goes outside and sees the rot in his field too. And he's like, oh, hell no. He piles all the rotted pumpkins into his truck. And I'm guessing he went straight to the police department because now he's sitting with Hopper in Hopper's office where Hopper looks like he just took a bite out of a donut and is having his coffee because, of course, he doesn't want to be bothered in the morning. Mornings are for coffee and contemplation, not for being yelled at about pumpkin poisoning. So Eugene's like, oh, I'm sorry. Hopper says, so you're telling me that Meryl poisoned your farm because he thinks you poisoned his, which of course you didn't. And Eugene says, no, sir. And I got me an alibi the night he accuses me. But then he drives off And he's like, deal with this myself. So Hopper obviously told him, get out of here. I got nothing for you. So now Eugene heads over to Merrill's pumpkin patch, where I guess he's going to possibly, I couldn't think of anything else with a P, but it looks like he's walking up to the path. The patch, the path on the patch leads to the house. No, I don't know. I tried. So he's leaning over some of the pumpkins and we see the shadow behind him. And all of a sudden there's Merrill holding a rake. He says, you bastard, caught you right in the act. Eugene says, what act? I'm getting a sample of the poison you've been spreading around. Merrill says, why would I kill my own crops, ruin my business for the season? And then Eugene says, how much insurance you take out on this, Merrill? Merrill says, you really think? He says, you're coming at me with a rake? Man, I don't know what to think. And Merrill throws the rake down and says, buddy, I don't need a rake. Just spear, runs at him like he's in WWE, jumps at the guy. They're shoving each other. They're wrestling along. Eugene gets a left hook. Boom. Knocks Merrill straight back, hits the ground, falls through the rotted ground. Wah! All of a sudden, Eugene comes to the edge. He's like, Merrill, if you think hiding like a, what on God's green earth? And he gets too close to the edge. He falls in. Merrill's like, coughing. Eugene's like, oof. And Merrill says, you alive, man? He's like, wind. Looks like he got the wind knocked out of him. He's in pain. Merrill's like, I think I busted my tailbone. And Eugene says, you always been a pain in my ass. Merrill says, what the hell is this doing under my field? And Eugene says, no, you didn't do this. Too lazy, too cheap. He's coughing. He's hacking. And Merrill's like, Eugene, you okay there? And he says, the air down here, it's gone bad. And now he looks up at the hole and he's like, I might be able to reach. I'll give you a boost. See if you can climb out. And Eugene's like, seriously? It's like, faster we get out of here, faster I can get away from you. And Eugene says, yeah. Guess I can't exactly lift your ass up there. So he stands on Merrill's shoulders and he tries to reach. All of a sudden, Merrill hears scree, 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 scree in the darkness. He's like, what the hell? Maybe I just imagined. Then he hears it again. He freaks out. He says, shit. And all of a sudden, he moves too much. Eugene's hanging there now, can't hold the grip. He falls on top of Merrill. They land. He's like, what are you trying to do? He's like, shh, listen. Okay. You can hear the scree, 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 scree in the background. Oh, they can hear it. You can't hear it. Well, you could hear me doing it. And Merrill's like, I never heard anything like that. And Eugene's like, some kind of animal, sick rabbit, maybe. So they're hunched down and they're trying to be quiet and they're looking into the darkness. You remember these tunnels and you know what's down there. So Merrill's like, I don't really want to find out what's living down here. Eugene says, we need another way out. Okay. Ground up here won't hold us. Which way we headed? So Merrill says, let's get towards the woods, okay? The ground should be sturdier there by the roots. Eugene's like, makes sense, I guess. Then all of a sudden, the screen gets really loud. Merrill says, run! So the next page has different panels of just them running. It says, if you ask the two men why they fled in that moment, they wouldn't have had a clear answer. An unnamed fear, a smell of danger, like an oncoming storm in the wind. Perhaps it was an instinct as old as humanity itself that drove them forward. Echoes from before man was strong enough to stand against the teeth in the darkness. The knowledge that if you were too slow, too uncertain, you would be little more than meat. The understanding of the fate awaiting the prey at the rear of the pack. At this point, Merrill trips over one of the evil vines. That, you know, was stretching out the veins, I would say. He trips, falls down. He yells, Eugene, help me. His foot stuck. Eugene looks at him. I mean, stares for a second. And in one moment, I thought, he's going to leave this guy. And he just says, typical, runs over. He says, could never do shit without me. He helps him get his foot unlodged, picks him up. And Merrill says, thanks. Come on. They get to the stronger ground. He's able to push Eugene up and Eugene's like, it's holding. He climbs out. He pulls Merrill out and he says, Merrill says, I'll say something to Hopper. to make sure that he doesn't come after you. So now he knows that Eugene didn't do this, and he's going to make it right. And Eugene says, I appreciate it, but what the hell do we do with this mess? And Meryl's like, I'm not even sure who the right authorities are in this case. And it says, the two men didn't know just how deep those tunnels ran, that the authorities would come to them. A year prior, the men might have survived the monster underground only to fall to far more human ones. Think about it. Remember what happened with Benny? He's like, hey, I just want to call in something about this little kid. And boom, Benny's dead. And now his burger stand is a makeout joint and a hangout joint and a drinking joint. But it shows that that didn't happen to these guys. It says there was a new narrative being written about Hawkins. And it shows them at some office holding a check with a lot of money on it. And they're like, holy, they didn't say it, but you know what they were going to say. There's some dude sitting opposite them behind a desk, and he says, the U.S. Department of Energy regrets the damage the leak did to your business and home. We will, of course, handle the decontamination and repairs in addition to the compensation for the lost crops. So, of course, they're calling it a leak from the Hawkins laboratory. But the next panel shows people going on vacation. Now, did they have these beautifully pullable luggage? Did everyone have pullable luggage with the arm that pulls up in the wheels? Was that a common thing in 1984? I don't remember. Maybe it was, but everyone has that because it shows both families going on vacation together. They're friends again. They're happy again. It says, of course, the money they got, it was all lies and misdirection, of course, but it was far kinder than a bullet to the head. Yeah, I think so. It shows them all on a beach. It shows the girl and the boy. They went to the dance together, the prom or the snowball, in the water together. And then on the very next panel, it's now November 22nd. They're at Thanksgiving together because, yes, in 1984, November 22nd was Thanksgiving. And it shows the whole family together. And the kid, whoever the son is, his name is Son, according to this, says, can we wanted to say something if it's okay. And Meryl says, go ahead, son. He says, we're just really happy that the two of you have patched things up and that we all get to celebrate together like this again. And then the daughter says, and it better stay that way, at least until after the wedding. And she holds a ring up and it shows Meryl and his wife smiling, Eugene and his wife smiling. The moms go over and they're hugging the kids. We've been waiting for this day. We'll plan everything. So happy for you too. Now, dude, you didn't go ask Eugene for his hand in marriage first. That is the tradition, especially when you're younger, you ask. I feel like once you're older, or maybe it's your second marriage, maybe you don't ask. I don't know. I'm still on my first. I plan on being on my first and only. But I'll tell you a story. I didn't actually ask for the hand in marriage. I got the ring. Okay, this was before my senior year of college. I got the ring and it was like burning. I had it in a drawer. I was like, I just want to give this to her. I wanted her to have the ring to wear it the senior year of college. So she had it. Like I worked all summer for it. And I wanted to ask her parents, obviously her father, but they were away. And this was kind of before, you know, cell phones were really a thing. Like, I don't think any of us had a cell phone. My mother might have had one that you could do, you know, use for emergencies, that like you'd pull the antenna up and unfold it. And you had to like make sure you're outside and dial all these numbers. So I left a note on the counter telling them what I was going to do. I knew that I think they were going to be home that night. And then I proposed. I remember coming home from work and she had a headache that was killing her. I was like, I want to take you to the beach. I want to do something really cool I want to do. And she was not up for it. Of course, then I went through the whole thing and proposed on the beach. I had this terrible bottle of champagne that I got from some work thing we were legally allowed to drink at this point. Yes, we were both over 21, right? We had to have been. And I brought it on the beach, which probably wasn't legal bringing it on the beach. We don't really drink all that much. I mean, she doesn't drink at all, and I barely drink. And I don't think either of us were like enjoyed this, but we took a drink, you know, because that's kind of the thing I proposed on the beach. And we kept the bottle for a long time. We wrote on it on like a gold pen. And I wonder if we probably still have it someplace. Long story short, she said yes, and the parents were okay with the fact that I didn't ask. But my point is that instead of asking, you tell everyone at the Thanksgiving dinner, you better hope it goes well. And it seemed like it went well. And in the very next panel, it shows that Meryl and Eugene are, you know, hanging out. They're friends again. They're watching football. It says the two men would never know just how lucky they were. All they knew was that something between them had been broken. And deep in that strange, smothering darkness that they refused to speak about, it had been repaired. Sometimes there really are happy endings, even in Hawkins. It shows them look at each other and clink their beer bottles together. And that is the end of Tales from Hawkins number 4. So really all they did was take that one scene from Stranger Things 2, where Meryl talked about his pumpkins possibly being poisoned by Eugene, and the idea that he stole my idea for pick your own pumpkins, right? Or he claims I stole his idea for pick your own pumpkins. That one scene, that whole thing, I played the whole thing. I don't think we see them any much else after that. Maybe when they're burning the fields or when they come back to the fields. But really that one little moment is the setup for this entire issue, this entire story. A whole story was constructed just from that. We meet Eugene. We see that they were friends. We see that they became enemies. We see that their kids were dating. We see that they go through something traumatic in the world of Stranger Things. We don't see any monsters. We hear them. We see the tunnels. We get some of the upside down, you know, that bad air. They survive it, and it brings them closer. And we now see that they're not just friends, they're family, and they're going to be family forever. And I love that just that one little moment turned into all of this. And of course, it's only 20-something issues of one comic. It was a fun story to read, but it was just, I get a kick out of the fact that we get all that just from that one little scene. But listen, my stranger friends, that's it. We are done. The final Stranger Danger of 2024. Think about it. It has been 40 years since Thanksgiving 1984. And you know what? This probably would have been a good one to come out on Thanksgiving, because that's when the story ended. Oh, geez, it would have been the 40th anniversary of the day that Meryl and Eugene's kids got engaged. But either way, I'm glad that I was still able to come out and give you a one final episode of the year. And there's a reason I was busy doing other things. If you go to fans.experts.com, you'll see that I had a 25-day podcast that I put out in December. One every day from December 1st to December 25th, where I talked about Christmas sitcom episodes. It was a hell of a lot of fun. I had some special guests, a lot of my friends, my cousin was on there. And we talked about shows from the 50s and the 60s and the 70s and the 80s, and the 90s and, you know, and beyond. And I do it every 25 days of Christmas. I do it every year. So I'll be doing that again, of course, next December. But that's what took up the majority of my time. Plus I was working on some other shows. I do a show for the new Skeleton Crew. Disney Plus show. So if you don't watch Skeleton Crew on Disney Plus, it is a lot of fun. Think, you know, a Goonies kids adventure, not unlike the adventures of the Hawkins kids, but this is more kiddish, I would think. But in the world of Star Wars, and you put a Goonies kind of spin on Star Wars, and you have my podcast called Croonies, get it? Because it's called Skeleton Crew and Croonies and Goonies. But that's also available at fans.experts.com. You can check that out. Other than that, I'm going to get back on the horse of Stranger Danger, Stranger Things forever. And I'm going to keep doing the book club and just counting the days. I'm waiting for the day where we get a trailer where I can sit down and legitimately go through it like we did last time. I would say last year, but that was years and years ago at this point now. We've waited long enough. I am so ready for Stranger Things 5. There's only a couple days left in 2024, and then we're in the year. We're in the actual year that we will be getting it. And oh, I can't wait. But we have to. But until then, I hope you keep checking out the show and check out any other shows I do over at fans.experts.com. And you can follow me on all the social media places, my friends. So you can actually follow me on Blue Sky. That's where I live most of my social life now is over on Blue Sky at Geek Mentality. I'm still on the Twitter at Geek Mentality. Instagram is Geek Mentality. The Mastodon.social is Geek Mentality. The show itself has a Twitter on Stranger D Pod, but it also has a Blue Sky. The Blue Sky is StrangerDangerPodcast.com. That's the Blue Sky. I should put that in the show notes too. Add that to the show notes, the new Blue Sky. And my TikTok has changed. So the TikTok is now Geek Mentality Mike. Somebody took Geek Mentality from me. They took the domain. They took the name. Now, look, I used to have geekmentality.com and I let it go when I changed everything to fans.experts.com. I should have kept it and just redirected it to the Geek Mentality podcast. I didn't. Someone bought it and they make things and they TikTok about it. And look, I didn't copyright anything. So, I can't claim, hey, that's my name. But I do know that my Twitter account and my podcast has been around, many, 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 many years. So I'm the original Geek Mentality, but on TikTok, it is Geek Mentality Mike. Okay, that's it. I'm done. I hope everyone has had happy holidays, because Hanukkah is going on right now. Christmas, right? I hope I got that right. Didn't it start on Christmas Day, day one? Christmas, of course, was last week. And New Year's is right around the corner. So happy holidays. Happy New Year. I will see you all in 2025. But until then, thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Stay stranger, my friends. And remember, reading is fundamental. But you can't spell fundamental without F-U-N.
Butterfly in the sky.
Because it's fun.
I can go twice as high. Take a look. It's in a book. A reading rainbow. I can go anywhere. Friends to know and ways to grow. A reading rainbow. A reading rainbow, a reading rainbow,
a reading rainbow. Fans, not experts.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.